Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Roan Carey, Managing Editor of The Nation Magazine, and I'm very happy to have on our podcast this week John Nichols. John is one of the most frequent and veteran of Nation contributors, one of our supreme experts on politics here. And John has written many books, the latest of which is The S Word, A Short History of an American Tradition, Socialism. John is also the Washington correspondent of The Nation. Welcome, John.
It's great to be with you, Roan.
So, John, this week you've written an article about Rick Perry, who, as everyone knows, has risen to the top of the GOP heap in the presidential nomination for the Republican presidential nomination. And you write something about an issue that, frankly, when I first heard about it, I thought I misheard. And this is that Rick Perry, along with other Republicans, are pushing for repeal of the 17th Amendment, which was passed almost 100 years ago and provided for the direct election of senators as opposed to senators being chosen by state legislators, which was the practice from the founding of the Republic up until 1913. So the question is, first of all, why has this moved from being a far right-wing fantasy to something that's at the very center, as you point out, it's moved to the very center of Republican politics today? How has that happened? Who's been responsible for it? And what does it say about Republican politics? What's behind all this?
Well, the first thing to understand is that while it's at the center of Republican politics, it's not one that they talk a lot about outside of the inner circle. And that is this notion that they're opposed to having an elected U.S. Senate. They want to take the people out of the process. This is in opposition to the democratizing of the American experiment. And the reason that the old right, and this is the John Birch Society and extreme right-wing players in the 1950s and 1960s, started to very vociferously object to an elected Senate, was that they saw the U.S. Senate as becoming, democratization, a vehicle where people elected senators. As you added more states, in this case, late 1950s, Hawaii and Alaska, you started to end up with a situation where it was clear that the balance was shifting against the old South and the old political establishment. So it wasn't really until the 50s and 60s that the idea of an elected Senate started to fully take form, and that senators began to serve not as expressions of the kind of establishment, the political establishment of their states, which was certainly the case in a lot of the old South, in the segregationist South, in the years after they went to an elected Senate, and more as independent players, people who really did respond to the people, who asked the right questions, perhaps objected at key points. And so you started to see the John Birch Society leading a national campaign against the 17th Amendment, saying this is actually one of the most dangerous changes in our politics, takes America away from the original intent of the founders. And yeah, that seemed like the most fringy thing possible. It was a silly argument, not one that would get any traction anywhere, except that as the Tea Party movement began to rise in 2009, 2010, many of its leading thinkers, key players, both in the movement and associated with it, folks like Glenn Beck, began to dust off old John Birch Society pamphlets and old right arguments about the Constitution. Because remember, the Constitution for the Tea Party movement is such a central document, one that they're obsessed with interpreting in their way. And one of the things they found was the quote-unquote problem of the 17th Amendment. And a number of key Republicans have picked it up. Members of Congress, there are several members of Congress who have spoken about this issue. Joe Miller, who was the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate up in Alaska in 2010, candidate strongly backed by Sarah Palin. But now Rick Perry has brought this idea into the center of the Republican Party as its leading candidate for president.
Now, you point out, you also say that the rise of this call for repeal of the 17th Amendment came also in the wake of huge defeats for Republicans in the 2006 and 2008 elections. And you also talk about the Koch brothers as helping to fund this. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think that it's very important to understand that the current conservative movement is much more conscious than I think most Americans and certainly even most pundits are aware of, much more conscious of their political vulnerability. They know that a lot of the ideas that they're pushing and a lot of the approaches that they're advancing are not particularly popular. And so they do worry about a broad democratic response. They saw evidence of that in 2006 and in 2008. Remember, 2006 was a sweeping advance for the Democrats. In 2008, of course, with the re-election of Barack Obama and with very major advances for Democrats at the Senate and House levels, also the state level, really spooked a lot of the far-right folks within the Republican Party and even on its fringe. And so that's where you started to see an awfully lot of this talk about whether democracy itself was a particularly healthy thing. And the Koch brothers, who's obviously their family has roots with the John Birch Society, it's not that they're straying too far from where they've traditionally been. The Koch brothers have for a long time been funding political operations that challenge the idea of a broad and open democracy. The critical one that they do this through is the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. This is a group the Koch brothers have been supportive of for a very, very long time. And if you take a look at ALEC's agenda, it is, in addition to advancing the corporate line and all sorts of policy matters, it has a whole voting and democracy platform, if you will, a bunch of policies that it advances. Among these is a passionate support for the Electoral College. They love the idea of having the Electoral College between the voters and the presidency, a barrier to the voters having direct election of a president. But they also have, in recent years, become increasingly active in opposition to direct democracy, very critical of referendums and initiatives, particularly ones on economic issues like a living wage or extending health care benefits, very supportive of voter ID laws and changes in voter registration laws that make it harder for people to register on the day of an election. They make you sometimes register like a month in advance, things like that. All sorts of structural shifts that make the democratic process more difficult for working people, more difficult to engage in. And all of this roots back, in my view, to a real discomfort with a wide open democracy where people have a lot of power to define who represents them. The other thing about the flip side of all this, of course, is very, very strong support for the Citizens United ruling, which allowed corporations and wealthy individuals to spend as they choose to influence elections. It's a funny thing. The Koch brothers and other right-wing players, and this is up to and including Rick Perry, get very, very excited about the idea of removing any barriers to money in politics. At the same time, they're very enthusiastic about erecting barriers to small d democratic participation in politics. And that's, you know, obviously you start with like a voter ID law, but you go right up to a overturning of the 17th Amendment, which would take away the right of citizens to elect their senators.
Right. And as you point out, that's what's so dangerous about this. I mean, you say that it's not in the cards for the 17th Amendment to actually be repealed because, of course, two-thirds of both houses of Congress have to mm-hmm. pass a law and 38 states have to confirm it. But the point is, as you point out, this is all part of a broad attack on democracy, and it's an organizing principle, and it's part of a broad attack that's quite dangerous and that has actually had some real and terrible effects in places like Wisconsin and Ohio. Anyway, mm-hmm. John, it's great to have you on, and please read John Nichols' article on Rick Perry's attack on democracy in This Week of the Nation.
Thanks so much, Ron. It's been good to be with you.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.